There is nothing quite like getting together on a Sunday morning, looking at the same passage of Scripture and allowing God through His Holy Spirit to capture our attention and talk to us in a way that we get it and in a way that we can put it into action. Every day of my life, every week of my life, I spend anywhere between 20 and 30 hours preparing for the encounter that we get to have every Sunday morning. And there's just an interesting emotional dynamic finishing a series of messages and then gearing up for the next Sunday. And that probably doesn't mean anything to you, but if you've ever been on a sports team and you've given everything you've got and the season ends and then you wake up on Monday morning, it's like, okay, what now? Or if you have you have worked in your career and then you retire and you wake up on that first Monday morning and you say, well, now what? That's my experience at the end of a series. So last Sunday night we didn't have Sunday night life groups, so it was between 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I decided, well, I was just going to come up to church and begin to think and pray and begin to work on our encounter this morning in God's Word. So I got up here, somewhere around 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I grabbed a yellow pad and I began to write down some things that we had been through. It's been a pretty incredible summer. Now, I don't know if it's the rain in June or school starting earlier or what, but summer just seemed kind of short, didn't it? I mean, it just seemed to just fly by. And so I wrote down short summer and great camp discovery, a series called Playlist. We worked through some Psalms, and then the series we just finished up last Sunday morning was Conquering Giants. Looked at the great battle between David and Goliath, and thought of all the adult luncheons we had, and teen trips, and color wars, and cornhole tournament we had. A movie called Overcomer was kind of a big deal for the church. High school senior celebrations going around. We need to do something like that for fall, don't we? Maybe incoming juniors or something, because that's always a great time when the church family gets together. And Mommy and Me play dates was great, and all through the summer. We welcome new NLNCers, and there was a couple times we had wedding vow renewals, and that was a highlight in the summer. And of course, the baptism and salvation stories, and then losing Becky. That was it still is. That hurts. We go through that together. I wrote on the yellow pad, NLNC never insults God by dreaming small. I'm glad I'm part of a church family that's absolutely true. We never insult God by dreaming small. I jotted down windows of opportunity and expecting the supernatural, vision, conviction, transition into a new church board, excited about things to ahead, and then I looked up, and by the time my yellow pad was about full, I noticed it was about 7 o'clock, and still didn't really have a lot of a seed for the message, except what those things that I wrote down on the yellow pad. And I went home, and then by about 4 o'clock Monday morning, this past Monday morning, I was back up in the office praying about it, and then I reread the yellow pad, and I all the way through I was praying, Lord, a fresh word for NLNC. It's going to be a new Sunday, and it's going to be a new opportunity to get into God's Word. And I kept praying, God, a fresh word for NLNC. And after that three and a half hours, this is what my workstation looked like. I mean, it was just, it was just crazy. All these notes around, and Monday morning I came in and continued to pray, and it just seemed like the Lord kept bringing back Psalm 90 verse 12. And this 90th Psalm was written by Moses. And the great scholars, Bible scholars, tell us that Psalm 90 just might be the oldest scripture that we have recorded. It's kind of a battle between Moses writing in Psalm 90 and the story of Job. And because Moses, he was one of the early authors of the scripture. So way back, one of the oldest passages of scripture, and Psalm 90 in verse 12 reads this way: "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I keep a notebook, a journal of every message that I've ever preached at NLNC, and I thought, I'm just going to go into that journal and see, and not a mention of Psalm 90. And I kept saying, "Lord, a fresh word for NLNC," and the Lord just seemed to give it. Heavenly Father, I pray that Psalm 90 might live. May there be something. May something in this psalm capture our attention. And may our hearts and minds be open for you to communicate some truth into our life. And Lord, this time that we consider precious, that we can all get together around one passage of scripture and just allow you to do your work. It's a pretty special moment for us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your word to your people in Jesus' name. It just seems like that verse in Psalm 90 that Moses wrote, it just seems to beg the question, do we want wisdom? Do we want to live wisely in the lifespan that God gives us? If we need wisdom, if we want wisdom, one way to get there is that we number each day, or count each day, or make each day count. Now, there's a lot to digest in this 90th Psalm, and we're not going to go word for word all the way through it. But included in this 90th Psalm is some of the reasons why a heart of wisdom gives each day a number. Let's start with verse number 1, Psalm 90, verse number 1. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Here's a good reason to number a days. One of the steps that we can take, a practical, doable steps that we can take to gain a heart of wisdom. God thought it important enough to write us into his everlasting story. I mean, what a thought that is. The one that hung the great lights in the sky, the one that put the very breath of life into humankind, thought it important enough, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that was from the beginning to the end, from everlasting past to everlasting future. That can just give us a headache if we spend too much time thinking about that. But the everlasting one thought that you and I was important enough for him to write us into his everlasting story. That's incredible. A heart of wisdom begins to think of God, the everlasting God, making a willful decision to write you into his story. He didn't have to do that. He knew at this stage of life that our life would be full of decisions that sometimes they were against him and what we would do and all of that. But he made the decision to write us into his everlasting story. David picked up the idea in Psalm 139. And David said this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Wouldn't it be something if every first day of school, every first semester of the school year, this stuff would be taught? I mean, if we go to school to gain knowledge and become good at putting that knowledge to work so we live a wise life, it seems like this is the beginning of wisdom. This is the beginning of living with a heart full of wisdom. I began to think, you know, that needs to be in every school's curriculum every semester. And then I thought, well, you know, you walk into Kidsville, our preschool area, and here's what we read. God saw everything he made, and it was very good. If every single student began every single semester thinking about the truths that we get to share this morning, all of a sudden, we're beginning to see and experience a heart full of wisdom. God thought it important enough to write us into his story. You know something? If we would just not only hear that, but we would begin to let that sink in through our ears, through our minds, drift into our heart. Just the thought that God has written us into his story. We'd walk out of here, we'd walk up a little bit straighter, our shoulders would be thrown back a little bit. Those things that bother us and we're carrying the weight of all those things that's going on, we would begin to say, God is in charge. He is the one that wrote me into his story. He is the one that knit me together exactly the way he needed me to be in the age that I would live. And all of a sudden, our hearts would begin to be full of wisdom when we learn to number our days. There's more. Verse 4. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. If we keep reading in this 90th Psalm and we read through verses 5 and 6, that those verses begin to talk about life like new grass. And when you plant grass and in the morning, and some of us have done that this summer, and we water, you know, in the evening, and then in the morning, you know, you're pulling out of the driveway, going to work, and you see that new grass, and you think, boy, that's really coming in good. But at the end of the day, when you pull back in the driveway at 6 or 7 o'clock at night, you begin to see that grass is withered. In other words, what Moses is saying in verse 4 is this: life goes pretty quick. And I don't know exactly all the dynamics and the mystery of it all, but I don't know how a one-hour math class can seem like forever, and life seems so quick. I don't know how it is that payday seems like it's never going to come, but life goes by so fast. But it's true. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. Put a number on each day. Because the truth is, life goes by pretty quick. Moses continues to write as God continues to give him reasons to number our days. He gets to verse 10, and we read in verse 10, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Isn't that true? I mean, we don't even have to believe the scriptures to believe this, do we? It's just the way life is. And here's another reason that God gave Moses, and Moses is sharing that with us today, that to teach us to number our days, that life has plenty of distractions and plenty of challenges. And each time trouble comes, every sorrow strikes, it threatens to throw us off track, doesn't it? I mean, it can happen in the spiritual life. We're sitting in here on a Sunday morning, and the word that God gives us captures our attention, and we begin to say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this change. I'm going to love my spouse a little bit better. I'm going to try to raise the next generation of children that I have in God's ways, and you know, I'm going to put the Lord first, and you know, I'm going to get into the Word myself a couple times this week, and I'm going to find time to talk to the Lord. I'm just going to do it. And then we show up on a next Sunday morning and we're not loving our spouse anymore, and we're not being a better example to our kids, and oh my goodness, I forgot to open up the Bible, and oh my goodness, I didn't even talk to the Lord at all this week. Why? Because there's distractions. There's plenty of challenges. Troubles come, and sorrows get us off track. The Apostle Paul weighs in on this idea in Ephesians 5 when Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Therefore, whenever you see a therefore in the scriptures, always pause to find out what it's there for. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Here's what the Apostle Paul adds to the numbering of our days conversation. Paul says, live wisely, make the most of every opportunity, understand what the Lord's will is, be filled with the Spirit. If anybody walked into this encounter with God's word this morning, and when you came in, you said, God, I gotta have a word. My life has to change. Something in my life has to change. Here's the fresh word from God to you. Live wisely, make the most of every opportunity, understand what the Lord's will is, be filled with the Spirit. Those things are practical. They're doable. I love that about God's word. I love that about how when he talks to us, it's not like stuff that's way up here that we don't know what to do with. It's right here where that's all we have to do is make a decision. The Bible says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We talk a lot around here about coming together on Sundays, and we practice, and we do. Everything that's really important is practiced on a Sunday morning, when you think about it. Kindness to others, tuning into what God has to say, opening His Word, practicing generosity, you know, practicing kindness one to another, exercising our spiritual gifts. Everything that matters most in life, we get to practice every Sunday morning. Well, this passage of scripture is true. We exist as a church to live the mission of Jesus Christ. Take that statement out, and we would just, you know, we would just be able to get together and be friendly and have, you know, great times and all that. But our calling, our commission is a whole lot bigger than that. It's to live the mission of Jesus Christ. We've made decisions that this is how we're going to do it. We're going to make disciples. I love that Andrew shared the decisions and the testimonies of two young gals that were baptized last Sunday morning. I love that. People making decisions about God. People making decisions about the life they want to live. And telling the church family all about it. Making disciples. Right now, as we're speaking here, give an opportunity to grow more like Jesus and learn more about what it means to be a follower of him. There's lessons being taught in Kidsville, our preschool school ministry, and over in Kids Zone. Why? Why do we do all that? Making disciples. We want to build families. It's all out. It's all out for next generation families. Celebrating next steps. Impacting generations. Why we have Kids Zone ministry and Kidsville ministry and RSM ministry and adult ministries, it's because we want to live the mission of Jesus Christ. And all of those ministries check all of the boxes. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We're in a numbering season right now. Today is day number 23 in Kids Zone 100. It's a first call to pray. 100 days, 100 guests, 100 in attendance one Sunday, 100 seeds and next steps. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Today, in Kids Zone 100, it's day number 23. You know, we don't wait around for God to work. We don't wait around for God to do something great. It's one of the spiritual mistakes that Christians make. Well, we're just gonna set and we're gonna wait for God to do something amazing. God, what amazing. Year after year, amazing. And some Christians, they never get to be part of that. Here's the reality. God is always at work. We don't wait around for God to do something amazing. God waits around for Christians to do something. The Bible says in Second Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name, that's the church. That's the church. If my people who are called by not my name, if they'll just humble themselves, if they'll just seek after God's heart, if they'll just pray, then the windows of heaven get open and God does something great. It's not like we have to beg for God to work. He's at work all around us. The big thing is, do I jump in and be part of what he's doing? Every prayer matters. Every act of service matters. Every investment of dollars matters. But here's the reality. And we read it in Psalm 90. Moses tells us, God's word through Moses. There's lots of distractions, isn't there? There's lots of sorrow. There's lots of challenges. We're in this thing together this morning, and we're hearing about it, and God is speaking to some of our hearts, and we're saying, well, yeah, God's always at work, and if my people, and I'm one of those my people, will do these, then the windows of heaven will be open, and we'll get to Monday or Tuesday or 2020 or 2050 or whatever it is, and we think, well, nothing amazing has happened. And here's the reason why. There's lots of distractions. There's a lot of trouble. There's a lot of sorrows. And if we don't willfully, deliberately put God and his stuff first, we never get to it. Lots of sorrows, lots of distractions, A lot of those things. And that's why God somehow captured Moses' attention. Just like God captures our attention. It can be in the middle of an ordinary day, and all of a sudden we have a God thought. That's what God did in Moses' life. And God said, Moses, make sure you write this stuff down, because I want to communicate it in 2019 on a September Sunday to those who gather in New Lothrop. That's how personal I think the word is. Okay, God. What is it? Here it is, Moses. Teach us to number each day, each opportunity, so we can gain a heart of wisdom. Okay, God, I got it. Good job, Moses. God, yes, Moses. Where is New Lothrop, Michigan? I don't know how the Lord has used the word this morning to talk into your heart. Maybe you are at a stage of life and it's like, God, it's true. Life really is pretty quick. Or maybe it's a new revelation that you have been written into his story. Or maybe you're connecting with the idea of, oh my goodness, Paul, you are right. There is so much trouble, so much sorrow, so many distractions. I'm not getting to what God wants me to get to. Don't know how the Lord has captured your attention, but this is a wonderful time to talk to him about some of those things.